Viking, committed to exploring the world in comfort. Journey through the heart of Europe on an elegant Viking longship with thoughtful service, cultural enrichment, and all-inclusive fares. Discover more at Viking.com.
A former White House aide says that then-President Donald Trump demanded to be driven to the Capitol on January 6th, what her testimony reveals about the events of that day. And dozens of people were found dead in a tractor trailer in San Antonio in an alleged migrant smuggling operation. Why they're risking the trip in the hottest part of the year.
It's economic collapse in parts of Latin America, continued economic disparity across Central America and Mexico, gang violence, increasing political violence across the Caribbean and South America and Central America, in addition to COVID.
Plus, why scientists say they've found the world's oldest tree in Chile. It's Tuesday, June 28th. I'm Anne-Marie Fertoli for The Wall Street Journal. This is the PM edition of What's News, the top headlines and business stories that moved the world today. Cassidy Hutchinson, the top aide to former White House Chief of Staff Mark Meadows, testified in person at the latest January 6th committee hearing today, saying that former President Donald Trump was warned that protesters were armed on the day of the attack and still directed them to march to the Capitol. Hutchinson said Trump called for the magnetometers or mags that were being used to detect weapons to be removed so that people could come into the area where he was holding his speech on January 6th.
I overheard the president say something to the effect of, you know, I don't effing care that they have weapons. They're not here to hurt me. Take the effing mags away. Let my people in. They can march to the Capitol from here.
She also testified that Trump was set on going to the U.S. Capitol himself after the speech. Hutchinson says that she was later told by the White House Deputy Chief of Staff that Trump had allegedly tried to grab the steering wheel of the presidential limousine and lunged at the head of his detail when they wouldn't take him there. The Secret Service did not respond to a request for comment. Wall Street Journal reporter Scott Patterson has been covering the hearings.
This was some of the most important and revealing testimony of all of the hearings that directly link him to the attack on the Capitol. Getting into the state of mind of the former president that day is one of the key goals of the committee, to find out what he knew in terms of the potential harm and violence that could be done at the Capitol is crucial because it gets to his intent.
Trump has said he did nothing wrong. Hutchinson said both Mark Meadows and the president's lawyer, Rudy Giuliani, asked for pardons from the then president. Neither received one. The Group of Seven summit has ended with pledges from world leaders to discuss additional sanctions against Russia for invading Ukraine. But our Germany correspondent, Boyan Penchevsky, explains that the economic tools may have reached their limit.
In the words of one expert, they've already gone through the pain threshold. And the question is now, will they start inflicting sanctions on Russia that will at least temporarily, potentially hurt some members of the Western alliance more than they hurt Russia? It's a big deal now for the West to decide, what are they really going to do? Are they going to keep the sanctions at the current level, or are they going to try and push forward with new sanctions that could wreck their economies even farther?
Meanwhile, at the NATO meeting, which began today, Turkey has dropped its opposition to Sweden and Finland joining the alliance. The Nordic countries had applied for membership after Russia's invasion of Ukraine. But Turkey's President Erdogan had accused the countries of harboring alleged Kurdish militants from a group known as the PKK. NATO Secretary General Jens Stoltenberg says leaders of the three countries have now signed an agreement ending the dispute.
As NATO allies, Finland and Sweden commit to fully support Turkey against threats to its national security. This includes further amending their domestic legislation, cracking down on PKK activities, and entering into an agreement with Turkey on extradition.
Ghislaine Maxwell, a British socialite and longtime associate of disgraced financier Jeffrey Epstein, has been sentenced to 20 years in prison for sex trafficking. Prosecutors say she was part of a decade-long scheme to help Epstein sexually abuse underage girls. At the sentencing, Maxwell said she hoped her incarceration would help bring her accusers closure and expressed regret that she had ever met Epstein. And accounting firm Ernst & Young, one of the Big Four, has agreed to pay a record $100 million fine and to admit that some of its auditors were cheating on required ethics exams in recent years. That's according to a settlement order released today. The Securities and Exchange Commission says it's the largest fine ever imposed on an audit firm and stemmed partly from Ernst & Young's failure to report the scandal to regulators who had asked the firm about it. Coming up, an alleged case of human smuggling in San Antonio, Texas, and what it says about the current state of immigration at the U.S.-Mexico border. We'll have more from our reporter on the ground after the break.
AI may be the most important new computer technology ever, but AI needs a lot of processing speed, and that gets expensive fast. Upgrade to the next generation of the cloud, Oracle Cloud Infrastructure, or OCI. OCI is the single platform for your infrastructure, database, application development, and AI needs. Do more and spend less, like Uber, 8x8, and Databricks Mosaic. Take a free test drive of OCI at oracle.com/Wall Street. oracle.com/Wall Street.
Authorities say three people believed to be part of a migrant smuggling operation are in custody following the death of 51 people who were among those found in a sweltering tractor trailer in San Antonio, Texas on Monday. The tragedy comes as there has been a surge in arrests of migrants, more than 222,600 in May alone at the U.S.-Mexico border. That's an increase of nearly 10% from the prior month, and many were repeat crossers. So why are so many people risking the crossing, even in the summer heat? And what does this latest tragedy say about the situation at the border? Joining me now with more from San Antonio is our immigration reporter, Alicia Caldwell. Hi, Alicia. Thanks for joining me.
Thank you.
So, Alicia, authorities are describing this incident as one of the deadliest such cases of migrant deaths in the U.S. Have we seen anything similar to this in the recent past?
We have. Unfortunately, there was a tractor trailer incident also here in San Antonio in 2017, where several people died. The high water mark, if you will, was actually 2003 for tractor trailers, where 19 people died. But what you're seeing in the last several years is people being smuggled in tractor trailers. It's really hot at this time of year, and Border Patrol and Customs and Border Protection, in fact, launched campaigns to warn would-be migrants as well as drivers. Don't get caught up in this scheme, drivers. One, it's dangerous and people could die, and they do. But two, it's illegal, obviously. And people have been charged and sent to prison over the deaths involving smuggling folks in tractor trailers. There's been multiple fatal car crashes of overloaded vehicles, many failed boat efforts, meaning folks coming by sea from either the Pacific or up through the Straits of Florida, coming up through Cuba and Haiti. This is a particularly deadly year in the last 12 to actually 18 months. There's been a reported higher incidence of fatalities, people dying in the desert, people dying and crossing the river, getting caught in currents and drowning. And of course, now upward of 50, at least, folks who have perished in a failed smuggling effort or what's being described as a failed smuggling effort here in San Antonio.
And Alicia, San Antonio, while not on the border, is a major transit hub for migrants who come across the border, right?
It is. It's a transit hub for both those who are processed and released by government officials, by CBP and Border Patrol and ICE, but it's also a transit hub for those being smuggled, in part because it's connected through a series of freeways to all of your northern and eastern and western routes, right? So I-10 runs coast to coast right through San Antonio. I-35 runs from the Mexican border to the Canadian border, right through San Antonio. It's quite hot here. It's hot all along the border right now. You know, it's 100 degrees plus here yesterday. Border Patrol has been warning against crossing right now. They do this every year. They have campaigns to encourage people not to cross. One, not to cross illegally, but two, don't do it now. There is the temperature out here is such that it is dangerous to be in these remote areas. And in this case, obviously, folks were in the back of a tractor trailer. There's not believed to be any air conditioning or ventilation in there. It's unclear how much water, if any, they had or food. So this is, you know, another outcropping of a border security issue. There are lots of people trying to evade at this point, and this is one of the results of that.
Alicia, we've seen a surge in arrests of migrants at the southern border. What has been behind such a massive increase?
The belief by experts and border security officials is that it's multifold. It's economic collapse in parts of Latin America, continued economic disparity across Central America and Mexico, gang violence, increasing political violence across the Caribbean and South America and Central America, in addition to COVID. As COVID restrictions went into place, migration halted or pretty well halted, and it's been on the rise since about the summer of 2020 as some restrictions eased, but also as people sought to evade those restrictions. And in some cases, again, that political and social unrest that came in the midst of the pandemic. And what we've seen is a constant flow of folks from all over the world, but you know, largely from South America, Central America, and of course, Mexico.
Has Title 42 played any role in what we're seeing now? This was the Trump-era policy that had allowed border agents to quickly turn away migrants at the border, a policy that the Biden administration has tried to repeal but was blocked from doing so by a federal judge. Has that contributed at all to what we're seeing right now at the southern border?
It's believed to be a significant factor. One of the issues facing border authorities right now is an extraordinarily high recidivism rate. 30 to 40% of illegal border crossers who are apprehended on a monthly basis right now are repeat offenders. So they've crossed the border and been apprehended at least once in the last 12 months. That's unusual. We had not seen that along the Southwest border in many years. In fact, in recent years, it was closer to 15% recidivism. So the theory is at this point, there are no consequences to crossing the border illegally, in so much as if you're returned under Title 42, it does not count as an illegal border crossing on your immigration record, the way it would perhaps under a normal circumstances where you would face potentially a criminal charge if you were a repeat offender and had crossed multiple times. The government can charge you with a misdemeanor at first and then a felony. But under Title 42, there is not that same legal consequence. So people are returning. And with that presence of Title 42, you are seeing a higher volume of people than we have ever before. It's hard to tell if it's strictly Title 42 or if it's all those other factors, right? It's almost never one thing. It's that combination of factors. But with a recidivism rate of 30 to 40% monthly, it's believed to play a significant factor right now.
Wall Street Journal immigration reporter Alicia Caldwell. Alicia, thank you so much for joining me.
Thank you.
And finally, for years, scientists thought that the world's oldest living tree was a 4,850-year-old pine tree growing in central California. They called it, fittingly, Methuselah. But new research suggests there might be a new oldest tree in town. Using data and mathematical modeling, researchers have determined that a 100-foot-tall cypress tree in Chile is more than 600 years older than Methuselah. Our science reporter, Eileen Woodward, says preserving the tree can help give a glimpse into the past.
It's sort of a time capsule of five millennia, like 80 human lifetimes. I mean, there are a lot of benefits in terms of like, use the tree to maybe glean more information about what the climate was like 5,000 years ago, how the genetics of this particular species of tree have changed over time. So there's a lot to learn from this tree, and the fact that it's one of the oldest perhaps might make people more sympathetic to keeping it safe.
And that's what's news for this Tuesday afternoon. We'll be back tomorrow morning. If you like what you hear, please rate and review us. I'm Anne-Marie Fertoli for The Wall Street Journal.
This message comes from Viking, committed to exploring the world in comfort. Journey through the heart of Europe on an elegant Viking longship with thoughtful service, destination-focused dining, and cultural enrichment on board and on shore. And every Viking voyage is all-inclusive with no children and no casinos. Discover more at Viking.com.